You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We are looking at Isaiah 61, and we have been looking at that in Ross as well. May have gone on slightly different paths, certainly because we're way behind you. We won't finish for another couple of weeks. But it's an incredible passage, and I've heard bits of a lot of the messages here and elsewhere, but for me it is all about identity, and so that's the angle I'm coming from today. It's really interesting that in both Matthew and Luke that they record Jesus quoting from this passage. And it comes after he was baptized by John. And when he was baptized by John, two things happened. He was anointed by the Spirit. And God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And us going needs to start from that position. That we are his beloved children. And in us, he is well pleased. Because it is, if you come from a place of condemnation and a feeling this is something you've got to do, it backfires and it, well, in my experience, it doesn't really work very well. And so we have to come from the position of knowing that God is well pleased with us, and then we can go forward in confidence, because we too have been anointed with the Spirit. And I've already gone way off here. Yeah. So we are going to focus on verse 10, which is, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with robes of righteousness." I learned that when I was in Sunday school, and it's still one that sticks there. And if I don't usually give my messages titles, but if I did, which I suppose I am, it's "We Delight," because God sees things differently. We delight in him because God sees things differently. As I said, I'm going to focus on verse 10, but I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I don't think it's wrong. I think it's right to keep reading these scriptures over and over again. Each time God speaks more into us. I'm going to read it from the Message. These floors are really creaky. "The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the heartbroken, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness, planted by God to display his glory. They'll rebuild the old ruins, raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over on the ruined cities, taking the rubble left behind and make it new. You'll hire outsiders to herd your flocks and foreigners to work your fields. But you'll have the title, priests of God, honoured as ministers of God. You'll feast on the bounty of nations, you'll bask in their glory. Because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the Lamb will be doubled and your joy go on forever. Because I, God, love fair dealing and hate thievery and crime, I'll pay your wages on time and in full and establish my eternal covenant with you. Your descendants will become well known all over. Your children in foreign countries will be recognized at once as the people I have blessed. I will sing for joy in God, explode in praise from deep in my soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride a jewel tiara. For as the earth bursts with spring wildflowers, and a garden cascades with blossom. So the Master God brings righteousness into full bloom, puts praise on display before the nations. We have, Andrew and I, three amazing children. They're all in their 20s now. And two of them don't currently have a relationship with God. And I was, sorry, this is a complete aside, really struck when it says, your children in foreign countries will be recognised at once as the people I have blessed. Both of them are doing courses on teaching English as a foreign language with a view to travelling. And I just feel that there are other people here, I'm sure, whose children do not know God. And this is what God wants you to see, that they will be recognised at once as the people he has blessed. Oh, that's a complete side. So delight is something that gives great pleasure, that we are overwhelmed with joy. It's something we do, we worship, we know, we feel, we experience. And yes, it is something we feel. I get quite cross when people say you shouldn't use your emotions or limit your emotions in the Christian life. God created my emotions. I do get very emotional, as Andrew will tell you. I cry easily. But there are times when I have to bring my emotions in line with what God is saying. But he wants me to apply my heart to my delighting. So I just encourage you to explore that a bit more. So this passage is about Jesus and what he's done for us. And we have sung so many amazing songs this morning that just announce this and declare it again. That he's had, when we were poor, he preached good news to us. When we have been heartbroken, he has healed us. When we have been captive, he's freed us. When we have been condemned, he's pardoned us. And even there, though, it tells us, it says of what we'll do when he's done that. We'll rebuild the old ruins. We'll raise a new city. We'll start over on the ruined cities and take the rubble left behind and make it new. So even then, it's giving us an indication of our going, that as God has worked in us, so we go on to do more for him. So we're just going to go through this a little bit. In the beginning, we delight because we are anointed with sovereign power. We are chosen, dedicated. We are empowered. That's what anointed means. And Samuel goes and anoints David as the successor to Saul. And I was thinking how this really is a passing on of a mantle, that passing on of a responsibility. And, you know, as we are anointed with the Spirit, that with that mantle of going is passed to us. But it's not intended to make us feel weighed down. It's intended to make us delight, because we have the privilege of just seeing, being anointed by his power and to go. You know, God sees you as someone worth pouring his Spirit over. God sees you as somebody who he looks at and says, yeah, I can pour my Spirit over you. I can anoint you, and you can go and do things. That's how God looks at us this morning. He looks at us as individuals, able to go and do things. He makes us more like Christ. So it's a gift from God, and we know his Spirit is good. It works in us. Part of this anointing is him working in us to produce the behaviour traits that are representative of God, to produce the fruit of the Spirit. That is part of going. It is about miracles. It's not all about miracles, though. That anointing isn't just zapping things. It's about working in us to produce those behaviour traits that people think that person is different. But we need to see that as something good that God is doing, so we can draw people. And it says in the Bible that he is a helper. So we are anointed with someone to go that will help us. He has the spirit of wisdom and understanding. I don't know if you're like me, but I often say, well, I just don't know what to say. Moses says, I don't know what to say. But we are anointed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He's the spirit of truth. He's got the truth. He's got it. He convicts the world of sin. We just have to say, yep. You're my Holy Spirit, come and help me. I need you, I need your truth, I need your wisdom. Leave him up to it. We don't have to people. We just have to be anointed with that spirit. He gives us power to be witnesses. He gives us the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So that is what we are being anointed with to go. And it's not for some of us here. It is for all of us here. There's not one person disqualified this morning in here that can't go and can't be anointed with his spirit this morning, because that's not the way God is. So we delight because he unites us in Christ and anoints us with his overflowing with the sovereign Holy Spirit. And we delight because he invites us to become his successor, to join with him. He says, come on, I'm Almighty God, I'm Creator God, but I'm saying to you, come and join me. Come on, it's good, it's exciting, it's great. God sees this as something exciting to do, and we just think, and feel a bit like Jimmy. But God is saying, come up with me. I'm the God who raised Jesus from the dead. I'm the God who created the heavens. I'm the God, the beginning and the end. And so come and join with me and take up this commission. It's exciting, and it should give us a reason in here to delight in him, to know that he considered us able to take up that commission, that he gives us that purpose. He says, you can be someone that proclaims good news. You can be someone to bind up broken-hearted people. You can, because of my spirit, proclaim freedom for the captives that you know. You can, because you're anointed, release from darkness prisoners. You can bring a crown of beauty to people who feel like they're in ashes. You can bring joy instead of mourning. You have the potential to bring praise to people's hearts instead of despair. Not because we can, but because we are anointed with his Holy Spirit. And sometimes we know this up here. I'm really good at knowing this up here, but in not being down here. And we need to learn to go on this journey of delivering more of this power of the Spirit and the Spirit at work within us so that we can do this thing. The thing is, the enemy says that you're not qualified and that you have done too much wrong in the past to do that. But God says you can, and we need to listen to what he says. We need to see things the way he is. We delight because he sees things differently, and he sees you as his successor, and you are able to go. You have the potential to go. We delight because he enables us to see things differently. I've been really convicted, I suppose, over the last few weeks of how I see my children my work colleagues. We have a couple of kids at Ross that are out in the park, and they're lovely, but they're a bit loud, and they come in and messy a bit. And I was really thinking, you know, I'm happy to mix with them, happy to preach the good news, but how do I see them? Do I see them as people that can become oaks of righteousness? Do I see them as people who can then display his splendour? And that's challenging. When you know people well, you think you just can't ever see it happening, can you? And if you've been praying for someone for a long time, you get weary. But God is asking us, the same way he sees the potential in us, that we need to see potential. We need his spirit to see things his way, that he sees the broken as people that potentially can display his splendour. He sees the prisoners as those that will become oaks of righteousness. And we really need to have his spirit at work within us to enable us to see things his way. Because we can play a part in that. And if we see that homeless person as somebody who can become an oak of righteousness, you might just pray for them as you walk past, instead of thinking, why don't they get a job? Sorry, obviously, you might not think that. But we need to be those who go on to be, and do we see people who are broken as those that could go on and rebuild the land and renew the land? I bet you can all think of people who you know that you just can't ever see that, but we need to. That in our, we need to believe in a God who works miracles, who raised Jesus from the dead. And as we're going, that needs to underpin us more. I'm not saying this from someone who's got this sussed, but I just know God wants us to know more of his spirit in us as we go, because he wants to change the way, he wants us to change the world, and we can, but only with him and his spirit at work within us. We delight because we know God is faithful. It says that he will, in those that you have had double trouble will have a double portion. In one version it says he'll pay on time, but he is faithful and he brings blessing in his time. And we, sometimes it's not easy to hang on to that, but we need to, because it's truth. And the enemy will lie and say that God is not coming on time, he's not giving you a double blessing, but he will, because he said it. We delight, and this is where we come to in the verse 10, because he has clothed us in garments of salvation and arrayed us in robes of righteousness. He does the clothing. He doesn't just say, here it is, put it on. But he comes to you, and so he has to do this as individuals. And puts that cloak on you. He buys the clothes. You know, it's not, he does it all. He's amazing. He makes a way from being broken to being whole. He makes a way from being bound up to being free. He makes a way from shame, the wrong we did in the past, to be saved and clothed in his righteousness. This is what God sees. So he says, you can fulfill my purpose, your purpose. You can enter my presence and delight in me. Because I don't see what you see. You see what you've done wrong. You see how you failed again. Or you see how you haven't taken that opportunity again. Whereas he says, you know, it says in the Bible that he's removed our sins and forgets them. So I heard someone say this, I'm still working it out a little bit, that, you know, when you go to God, because I classically do this and say, I'm so sorry I've done that again, God says, what? Because he doesn't remember the first, he's forgotten it. I'm still getting my head around that because I classically do that often. I get really disappointed in myself and think, I've done it again. I'm sorry, God. And it's sort of, you know, there's liberty in God. There's forgiveness. There's wholeness. There's a way made that we can go. And so we delight because he's clothed us in garments of salvation and arrayed us in robes of righteousness. And when he looks at you, that is what he sees. It says in Ephesians 1, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself, even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes, with unstained innocence. You know, he arrays us in, it's not, he hasn't gone to the charity shop and got, you know, a cheap bargain to put you in. He hasn't got, you know, how much you like sweatshirts or, you know, a pair of old jeans. He's got the finest of clothes. He's arraying us in stuff that cost him everything. And it enables us to stand in him. It enables us to be anointed by him. It enables us to delight in him. It enables us to go. And it's real. It's real. God is saying, just grab hold of more of this. And from the youngest to the oldest, you know, you might be an acorn. You might be a sapling. You might be a sturdy, and there are sturdy oaks of righteousness here. But, you know, they still need to grow and grasp more of what God is saying. We delight because it brings him great pleasure. You know, sometimes you can't really grasp that, can you? That you can get that, well, you can sort of get the, yeah, he'll send his son. But we don't grasp the pleasure that God takes in us. We don't grasp, he's saying to you, I'm well pleased with you. We don't grasp that you're my beloved this morning. I'm yours, you're mine. And we need to grasp that so that we can learn more of what it is to delight in him. The Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Saviour. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with singing. We've got three children, and every morning before they used to go to school, I used to say this every day to each one of them individually. Have a good day. I love you. God bless you. Every day. And one by one, they'd say, love you, Mum. Love you, Mum. And I just loved the way my day that sent them off. So whatever the morning had been like, I determined that's what we were going to do. And every day, they'd reply. And then one of them got to about 14, 15. And I said, love you. I can't say his name. Have a good day. God bless you. And he didn't respond. They're giving you two-thirds quickly. And I thought, oh, it's just because it's a rush. The bus is there. And so I did it. Said it again. And the next day, it was the same. And actually, this went on for 3 or 4 years. I just kept saying it every morning. But he didn't respond. And I can remember, you know, I think it was not long before he left school, and I said it again, love you, Joel, doing it the right way. God bless you, have a good day. And he said, love you, Mum. And my heart burst. It burst. I cannot tell you how much that moved me. My son telling me he loved me. My heart exploded. And that is just a picture of God when we delight in him. When we tell him we love him. He loves it. He loves it. And he takes great delight in it. And this is what we were created to do. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, for the Lord delights in you. God loves us. He is passionate about us. And it's not just God loves here, the church. He loves you. You. He sees you as an individual. And it touches his heart when we just delight in him. Delighting is an action. It's something we do. And as a consequence, we have a choice as whether we do it or not. God loves it when we do. We've got so much to delight about, but we still don't have to. And, you know, when we delight more in him, then we grasp more of his spirit within us, and we get, it's going to be a spiral of us delighting and knowing more of his spirit and going and delighting and knowing more of his spirit and going and seeing more and more and more. And as we delight and go and delight and go and delight and go, we're going to just have more and more to delight in, because God is going to work through us. We choose whether to respond or not to him. We choose to react to all that he's done. God can't make us delight, but he wants us to. He wants us to just to dwell with him. How we delight? Well, Andrew loves to go for a run and just has amazing times with God. You might want to worship. You might want to pray. I'm not saying list of requests, but just be with him. You might want to read his word. I would suggest you probably need to do all of them just to get that full flavour of God. But we need to delight in all that he's done and all that he says about us and respond, and we will be delighting in what he's going to do through us. When the enemy says you're ill-equipped, unqualified, don't know what to say, God sees things differently. He sees his robe of righteousness, he sees the clothes, robes of salvation, and he anoints you with the Spirit. When the enemy tries to bring back your past failings, your past wrongs, tries to fill you with shame, God says, I look at you and see you with my clothes of salvation and my robes of righteousness. I look at those. When the enemy questions our right to enter the presence of God and delight in him, God says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Come and delight in me. Come and spend time with me. Delighting is a response. It's a reaction to things as it happens. We delight because God sees things differently. We delight because God sees us differently. I don't know what the world says over you in your past, but I'm telling you, God says you have potential. I don't know what your parents said over you, whether they said good things or bad things, but God sees you as someone who is able to go. God sees us through the robes of righteousness and the robes of salvation he has given to you. He doesn't look at what you did wrong or what you did right. He sees you as saved by his Son, clean, holy. And he just wants you to say, yes, I'm here. I want to go on this journey of discovery with you, of going under the anointing of your Spirit that will give me wisdom, that will give me truth, that will be my helper, that will give me the power to witness, that will fill me with the power to go. That's what God's got on offer for us. And it should cause us to really think, wow, it's not supposed to be a heavy burden, and yet the enemy lies and makes it so. The enemy lies and says, you can't, you're too, look at what you did wrong at work yesterday, so you can't possibly go in and say something about God. But it's a lie. It's a lie. God looks at us, says, yeah, I want you to come with me. I want you to come on my journey. I want you to be anointed in my spirit. I want you to go and bring wholeness for those that are broken. And we just have to take up the mantle as he anoints us and say, yep, I'm going. I'm going. I'm going to... I'm going to hand over to Andrew, sorry.
Wow, thank you. That is amazing. God is so good. You know, Isaac, we're coming to the end of Isaiah 61, and but I just love what Jesus did with this passage, and that he's done exactly what we started off with this morning. When Tony declared over us and read the scripture to us, that is the truth. That is the thing that underpins, that unlocks our potential, is the words of God. And when we speak the truth, something even more amazing happens, that things are created. God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. When we speak scripture, when we speak truth, things happen. Faith is created. But more than that, we are changed. And so, as Jesus was speaking those words, was he speaking them to the crowd? Was he speaking them to heavenly authorities, powers and principalities? Or was he actually speaking them over himself? Was he saying, this is me. This is what was spoken about me. This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. And to me, I think that's what he was doing, as well as all of that stuff. And it's so important that we do speak to ourselves the word of God, the potential that is over your life, that you are amazing, that you are created to carry the glory of God. I heard a testimony this week. I don't know if anyone else heard it. It was of a lady of color. And she was cupped in God's hands. And he took her up into space. He put her in a bubble. She said she could see all this. He put her in a bubble of oxygen so she could breathe. And he said to her, I want to show you how I see you. And she said, he took me then somehow into his heart. And I could see myself through his eyes. And she said, I was just clothed in light. I was refracting light that came from him. I was just glowing. It was the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen. And it was me. And God said, I brought you up here because for you, the moon and the stars represent my glory. They represent my splendor. But for me, you represent my splendor. You are my moon and my stars. I look at you and I'm awestruck that you're amazing, that you have so much potential, that you have so much power, that there is so much within you because I'm in you, because I've filled you. I love Isaiah 61 because it says, it completes the principle that it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, that our words have power. What comes into my life quite often is as a result of what comes out of my mouth. So I want us to be a declaration people, a people that speak out the truth of the scripture that's over our lives. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Saying, we have to do something. It's a principle of scripture. It's what our words are for. Words carry power. Let's learn to speak out the truth of God over our lives, because they're always the lies of the enemy. I'm insignificant. I'm a rubbish leader. My church is going nowhere. These are lies. This is the lie that we've taken on. This is a lie that we've taken on. I remember when we went to Ross, first of all, some of the well-meaning other churches would come and say, oh, you're going to Tudor, but oh, it's hard there. it's hard for the gospel. What? Nowhere is hard for God. Nothing is too difficult. Dry bones will come to life at the word of the Lord. And that whole scripture in Ezekiel, the word of the Lord, speak the word of the Lord. He says, you prophesy to them. You say, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The word of God has power and authority. And when it's in your mouth and when you speak it out, it's, oh my goodness, I don't think we've begun to understand the potential that is within us. That you are God's glory. We can't do anything but speak of what he tells us and what he says. Because what we agree with becomes our reality. So our two boys, they're not following the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's declare that. We need to declare that every day. We will serve the Lord. What are the truths? What are the prophecies in there that speak over your life, that are speaking? What are the lies that you're believing? What are the lies that the enemy is sowing into you? Just finish with this. JP and Paula, you all know them. They're from Brazil. They speak Portuguese. Elena is growing up now. And I'm having a conversation with JP, and he was saying this. He said, you know, we used to speak English at home, you know, so that Elena would learn the language. But the thing is, now she's going to school. She's mixing with a lot of kids. She speaks English all the time. She's forgotten Portuguese. She doesn't know Portuguese. So now at home, we're having to really concentrate and speak Portuguese because her heritage is from Brazil. That's who she is. Had another conversation with another friend, Martin and Lynette. Martin is German. Having a conversation with him the other day. What language do you dream in? I dream in English. But you're German. What language do you dream in? What language do you speak in? Is it the language of heaven? Is it from the kingdom of heaven? Is it the promises? Is it the truth? Is it that foundation that we're on? Or are we messed up with the pervading culture of, I'll never do anything. It doesn't matter if I pray. It doesn't matter if I go to the prayer meeting. It doesn't matter if I sing the songs. It doesn't matter what I do. It does matter. It matters a lot. For some people, it's life and death. God has so much potential for us. There are so many prophecies that are spoken over our church, that we're a church that will influence nations. Say that to me. We are a church that will influence nations. But we've got to believe that. We've got to position ourselves to be that prophecy will never be fulfilled if it doesn't matter what we do. It does matter because the potential within us is amazing. God can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. What can you imagine? What are you dreaming in? What language are we dreaming in? The language of heaven. It's too late for me. I'm too old. I'm too young. What? You know, God has chosen you. He has clothed us. He has clothed us with his cloak of righteousness and of power and of authority and given us a sound mind. Let's speak these truths over our lives. Isaiah 61 is so precious to us here in Ross. And this whole thing about justice. Tim spoke about justice to me a few weeks ago. Justice is in our hands. When we pray, things change. The world changes. This is a bit of a kick, really. Guys, you need to be at the prayer meeting. You need to come to the prayer meeting. You know, there's about eight of us there last time. Have we lost the belief in the power of prayer that together that we can change the world? It matters. We can change the world. We, Christ in us, is the hope of glory. It says those that carry the most hope have the most influence. That's who we are. That's who I am. That's who you are. Okay, preach over. I just want us to do it. It's a declaration Sunday. I think I want to finish with this. It'd be great if everybody could come down to the front. And what I want us to do together as a church, as one church, no matter what site we're from, that we're going to speak these words from Luke 4 that Jesus spoke. And we're going to accept this. And it's like that cloak, that it's something that he is putting on us. It's not something that we choose to do. This is something that he's putting on us. So let's come together. Let's read this together as a declaration of who we are, where we're going, what's going to happen. I believe that new ministries, I believe that new promises are going to come to fruition from today and from speaking out and from all that we've done. And I'm going to come down here with you and we're going to say this together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Let's say it again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. One more time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come.